Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Week 1, Broncos at the Giants. And the game is going to be on September 12th. Some people pointed out some pretty interesting things, that it's 20 years to the weekend that the Broncos played and 9-11 happened. That was wild, because that's the game Ed McCaffrey broke his leg, and I was on the air at KBPI, and we're like, that's what we were talking about. The Broncos just lost, Ed broke his leg, and then, you know, a few minutes later, the world changed.
Right.
That was 20 years ago. There's other New York connections, obviously. That's where Super Bowl 48 was. Pat Shurmur returns to the place that fired him, and you'd have Daniel Jones on one side, and maybe Drew Lock on the other side. You know, the guy Pat Shurmur didn't draft, but now coaches. And that's about it on that one, Tyler.
It's like, what is the appeal of the first game? Normally you try to come up with at least some original storyline for week one. Boy, here we go. Here's the grudge match. I guess it's Pat Shurmur. That's about all you can come up with on this one. There's not any direct correlation between the Broncos and the Giants. There's certainly, you're stretching yourself thin to come up with something.
All right. Let's keep going.
It's still NFL football. I'm still going to watch it.
Of course. Like, every time you're a little critical for whatever reason of any type of game, you know, somebody's, you can always win with, so what, I'll watch. Yeah, okay. I should just start the conversation with, so what, we'll watch. But have you thought about this?
Yeah.
We're all going to watch.
Duh.
Every game, we're all going to watch.
Well, apparently, according to America, only about 6.3 million people are going to watch the Denver Broncos. But here in Denver, yes, you're right. We will be watching.
Right. We can't. I mean, Stink might as well get his hotel reservation for, for the Meadowlands.
Wow. Did you just take a shot? Is that what you did? That was, I felt like that was unnecessary a little bit.
Well, listen, that's a double-edged sword. I didn't say that word, right?
I get it.
No, but...
Listen,
yeah.
I am nobody to critique English.
So you got the Broncos, who nationally nobody apparently cares about.
So however, what are you saying about Stink?
However, you have the Giants, who are in the number one media market in the country.
Okay.
Now,
yeah, go ahead and try to turn this one around.
Have you seen what the other Fox game is at that same time?
No, I have no idea.
Oh, really? It's the Packers and the Saints.
So what are you saying? Mark's not going to be on that game?
I think it shapes up like a good Mark Schlereth game right now, where he is in his broadcast. It's not Spiro. Hey, it's not Spiro Dides. Okay, it is.
I'd give a lot to be in Mark Schlereth's shoes right now. I'd take that role.
Again, see, you're going with the, it's the NFL. We're going to watch it. Of course. Mark's a national broadcaster. There's only a handful of guys that even have that
between
job.
You and Stokely, I don't know who's taking more shots than Mark today.
I'm just keeping it real.
Goodness. Well, Stoke was trying to keep it real earlier today.
Coffee bet stinks on this game.
I refuse to play this game.
Coffee bet stinks on this game.
I am not going to play this game.
I don't think that's even an insult to Mark.
I am betting on the level of game that Mark Schlereth will be calling. Mark Schlereth is a fantastic broadcaster.
Double-edged sword. Mark Schlereth drove Dick Stockton into retirement after 90 years of broadcasting.
Unbelievable.
Double-edged sword.
Is it bad that I defend Mark more than I defend my own partner?
That's all right. I see who you're kissing butt to. That's all right. I get it. We all have our Rockies moments. No, I'm just teasing. You don't want a coffee bet on that?
No, I've not played that game.
Any takers on that? I mean, there won't be, because that is a perfect Stink game right there.
What does that mean? Oh, my gosh. Just keep going.
He's not the number one broadcast team.
Okay.
He's not number one. The number one team on Fox is Buck and Aikman.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the number two team.
Keep going.
I don't even know who is the number two team on Fox. Who is that?
You're going to keep ranking them in priorities?
Yeah, that's what they do. You don't think that's what Fox does? That's exactly what they do. When you see Spiro Dides and Adam Archuleta, what kind of game do you think we're watching? There's like three cameras and no replay.
Okay, so he's a step above Adam Archuleta. That's what you're saying?
He's many steps above Adam Archuleta, and he's not the low man on the totem pole for Fox. What do you got? What do you got? You got the broadcast teams?
What are we doing right now? Why are you
I'm saying Stink's going to be on this game.
Don't participate in this.
Why is that an insult to say
Why is it an insult?
Game?
The way that you set it up was the insult.
What are the teams, Richie? What are the teams?
Well, it's not going to be Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. It could, I guess, be Kevin Burkhart, Daryl Johnson.
That's the number two team, maybe.
That is, I mean, chronologically, that's
yeah.
The thing I haven't listened
All
to.
Right, so if you're Fox, who's your number two team with? The Broncos and the Giants? Or the now hold on, this is a trick question. Or the Packers and the Saints. Where's your number two team?
Well, I thought you said he wasn't number two. You already said he wasn't number two.
Actually, the late game.
Who's number two?
I think Burkhart and Moose Johnson, Syracuse. I think that's the number two team.
So he's number three? That's
well,
what you're saying?
What are the rest of the teams there, Richie? I don't know. I'd have to hear the rest of them.
Know if he's number three.
Well, we'll find out here in a second.
Kenny Albert and Jonathan Vilma.
Okay. Maybe. Okay. What else?
Then it lists Adam Amin and Mark Schlereth below Burkhart and Daryl Johnson.
Oh, you're looking at how they are ranked already. Okay.
Well, that's just the way they're listed in this article. This doesn't specifically say.
And who else besides that?
Kevin Kugler, Brock Heward.
Oh, he's got to be above them for sure. He's got Brock.
Wow,
sure.
Brock's a friend too, man.
I know.
Brock was texting me today.
I think Brock's new to the game, though. I think he was on college football. I don't think he's even done NFL games yet.
This does say in order of prominence as of 20.
There you go. There you go.
So Mark gets the bronze.
Oh, man. So this
on the podium.
This means if we get Brock Heward, we are in big trouble. This can't be a Brock Heward game. Now, see, Brock's probably driving his daughter around from some sort of practice listening right now.
Oh, no, I know that Brock listens all the time, and he texted me earlier.
Well, good for Brock, man. He's doing
National
Football
League games. Yeah, go ahead, say something nice now. No,
say
something.
It's always a compliment when you're doing NFL games, but you're talking about the Broncos now?
Who does number two work for?
Hmm?
Nobody got it. No.
I missed that one. Normally, I feel like you and I have this, like, connection. Yeah. I missed that one.
Austin Powers.
Okay.
Yeah. Good reference.
Yeah, thanks. I thought it was good.
Listen, Stink's from Denver. Giants. That's not an insult, I don't think. Don't you think that'd be great if Stink was on the first game of the year? Hey, can we just...
Yeah, turn it around. Now.
Maybe we can just get Stink on the phone. Huh? Maybe.
What are we going to go over with them? What exactly?
I'm going to ask him flat out, are you on this game? He's not going to be insulted by that. He's not going to be insulted by it. But it is funny. Now, this is funny. Aaron Rodgers is scheduled to be playing at the same exact time. This absolutely changes if Aaron Rodgers is with the Broncos. Stink will have no shot at that game.
Hey, when does flight scheduling begin?
Week 12.
So I'm actually a little bit surprised that the NFL did not give the Broncos at least one primetime game before week 12, because that means if Aaron Rodgers comes to the Broncos, they can't flex them into anything before week 12.
That is correct, but not necessarily a bad thing, and week one could prove that. That's a very good point, though, because it really just impacts NBC and ESPN, but not CBS or Fox. So CBS or Fox would actually be fine with that. It's ABC and NBC that would have the issues.
Yeah.
But starting in week 12, they could. All right, this is the Drive on the Fan. Double-edged sword.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
I mean, it benefited the Rockies, but how bad are umpires?
That was a ball. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for the Rockies.
I'm rooting for the Rockies, too. We got a cool situation right now. Listen, it's a moment, okay? It's just a moment. We're not going to hammer on it, but the bases are loaded with two outs, down two, last inning, good high school game, and it's a full count. I'm just a moment.
Now you're getting sensitive to the text line. You're not even getting sensitive to me. You're getting sensitive to the text line.
Oh, I'm getting pre-sensitive because I know what's about to come.
Right.
Just because there's a moment here.
Well, how many segments have we had so far? Four? Three? How many segments? I don't know my own show. I do think you have started at least three of them with Rockies. Fifth.
Well, I mean, that's because the Rockies game is on.
Uh-huh.
If the Nuggets were on or the Avalanche were on or the Broncos were on.
No, but you have been brief. I've actually been impressed. You've been in, you've been out. It's been an impressive performance out of you so far.
Well, you got to give me a moment here. Bases loaded, last inning, you're down two.
Sure.
Full count.
You're trying to get the walk. Dude's scared. Doesn't want to swing.
It was 0-2. Diaz actually has battled back pretty impressively.
Who's trying to take a walk right now? Be the hero. Hit a stinking grand slam. Let's go.
Yeah, I'd be hacking. What do you got to lose? It's kind of like the Joe Flacco moment of, like, what are we doing here?
I mean, are we really trying to get the perfect pitch, bases loaded?
No. What are we doing?
Go be a hero.
Angry Joe Flacco. What are we doing? Oh, man, it'd be great.
Wait, who's in their happy place? I don't know.
Well, this is the Angry Joe Flacco music, and I know I got it here somewhere, but it's like...
No, this is the Happy Place music.
No. This is Angry... This is Billy Joel.
Oh, you're right. That sounded awfully similar, though.
Right.
No? Am I...
Yeah,
I've been drinking
off
on the job today.
Yeah. No, this is the Happy Place. This is the John Elway thing.
Come on, I mean, a little bit faster. Like, they just sped it up. It was in, like, times four. Come on, you can see it. No? If they just said they hit like times four.
All right. We have some breaking news with tackles, I guess. So we didn't get Charles Leno. Is that a big deal?
Another one bites the dust. Well, Charles Leno was probably the best tackle on the market right now, so is it a big deal? The best tackle on the market's not available. Sure. You don't want to take much longer. You better get your dude signed.
Well, they have like five guys in like today.
Yeah. Are they actually working them out? I've seen various reports of people saying that they're having like a giant workout session.
Right. It sounds like when they say tryout, it does feel like maybe they are. Maybe, I don't know.
It's pretty unusual. I have definitely been, so I've only done two workouts over the course of my career. I worked out for the Vikings and George Payton did not sign me. I worked out for the Falcons and they did sign me. I never worked out with another player, though. It was that, so that to me is weird to bring in like
that
a bunch of guys having
really weird.
Yeah.
Oh, I just assumed it was all individual stuff. I didn't even think, well, that's interesting.
George Payton, what a jerk. How does he not sign me?
Sorry,
D-back.
That was actually a freaking sick play by the second baseman of the Padres. I don't even know who that is, but that was a sick play that actually just saved the game, sort of. Although he screwed up, the left fielder, right fielder rather, charged in, should have had the ball, and the second baseman over his head snatched the ball away from the right fielder.
That was about a three-car collision right there.
Right. Actually, that was a terrible play by the second baseman, yeah. And you could see the right fielder actually calling him off.
Padres. Right fielder's got to be louder. He's got to take charge, man.
It was his ball. He's got priority all the way. The Padres just actually lucked out there because that would have easily tied the game.
Well, breaking news, Rockies lose.
Yeah. Moving on. You want to hear Teddy Bridgewater throw the Panthers under the bus?
Oh, yeah, I've not heard this
That's
yet.
Kind of fun. All right, so he was on with Nick and Cecil, which is great.
Oh, did you see me throw Richie under the bus on Twitter yesterday?
About what?
Yeah, real quick. Just tossed him under the bus in a heartbeat. The second the show ended, so you know in our top six how he gives us the stories and the Oakland A's joke that I gave you yesterday about relocating to Denver?
Yeah.
Turns out Richie stole that joke from Jim Beneman. And I didn't know this. I just happened to read what was on my rundown.
There you go, Anchorman.
Somebody tells Jim Beneman that I stole his joke.
Wow.
Jim calls me. He gets a little bit mad at me on Twitter.
Rightfully so.
So I deflected immediately, and I said, listen, whoa.
Right.
I mean, not on me. If you want to yell at anybody,
talk
to my producer, Richie Carney, and yes, I tagged him.
Right. Like, I'm not going to think of something clever on my own.
Correct.
I'm leaning on Richie for that.
Yeah.
Where he steals the joke. jokes from is up to him.
Correct.
I just want to make it clear, I did not steal the joke from him. I did not know he made the joke.
Oh, now that I saw his tweet, it feels like you stole the joke.
Sure.
Sure. There's only like 1,000 other people on Twitter that were saying the same thing, including Kevin Kistner.
Hey, Dane Cook, we get it. It's all original thoughts by you. Amy Schumer, we understand what you're saying. We got you. All right, we got it. Ned, you're good.
I started replying to all the
Carlos Mencia.
Jokes,
Carlos Mencia,
like,
we got you.
I don't know this guy. It's not me, I swear.
Right.
didn't do this.
Well, I backed that bus up real quick. Well,
as long as Jim knows it wasn't me.
Oh, yeah. No. You had nothing to do with it. Don't worry about it.
By the way, sneaky best follow in town on Twitter.
He is, man. Jim He's Benjamin. Hilarious.
Sneaky, funniest Twitter follow is Jim Benjamin.
Uh-huh.
Yeah? Really good. All right, here's Teddy talking about the Panthers on, it's on some sort of podcast or something. This wasn't Nick and Cecil. We'll play more Nick and Cecil with Teddy Bridgewater in a little bit. But this is something else. Here he is.
I'll just say this for Joe Brady's growth, I think, man, like,
by the way, Joe Brady's the offensive coordinator for the Panthers, if you didn't know. Okay.
Organization, they'll have to, like, just practice different things, you know, in different ways. Like, one of the things we didn't do much of when I was there, we didn't practice two-minute, really. We didn't practice red zone, you know. What? So
it was the most important thing.
What? We used to have a whole day devoted for two-minute in red zone. That's Thursday practice.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I guess the game is becoming about science, you know, and trying to keep guys healthy. So, you didn't practice on Fridays there, but you walk through like the red zone stuff, and then Saturday you come out and practice red zone, but you only get like 15 live reps, and guys' reps all the way limited.
I love the reaction of the guys who are obviously NFL guys that are doing the show. I love their reaction. That is awesome.
That is crazy.
How about that,
hear.
Huh? How about that?
Your guy that you thought was going to be a head coach this year. Did you ever pay that coffee up? I don't know if you did.
Yeah, I did.
Are you sure?
Yeah. You think I'm not paying up my coffee bets at this point?
I don't know. I lose track really quickly.
Of all the things to like accuse me of, I think I'm good on that one.
Oh, you know what? To think that you don't practice two-minute drill or red zone, that did show up. It showed up on film big time for Teddy Bridgewater. And if that's true, you know what that is? That's Teddy Bridgewater acknowledging his flaws from last year.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit of deflection, without a doubt. It's saying, hey, I know that I sucked in the red zone last year. I moved the team well out in the open field, got down to the lower red zone. I had problems, but blame Joe Brady.
Well, let's dig deeper into it, and I got more of Teddy Bridgewater, especially with Nick and Cecil. That's next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
I see what you're doing.
Right next to the network.
Nice. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees.
And since I made it here, I can make it in.
We're announced Jay-Z going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Jay-Z going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Excuse me?
Jay-Z going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
But that doesn't make sense.
What do you mean it doesn't make sense?
It's rock and roll?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Oh. No doubt about it.
Got it.
Rock and roll is the genre of popular music, essentially.
Oh.
And Jay-Z uses
rock and roll was like rock and roll, brother.
Jay-Z uses a lot of rock and roll elements in his music.
Jay-Z's a Hall of Famer. I know that much.
Jay-Z is a deserved Hall of Famer. That's awesome. New York, too, man. I love it. That's where the Broncos open things up. There is one entry into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year that I'm like, what? But maybe we'll get to it later. Good job there, Richie. But the Broncos do start in New York. I do have to address a personal text, and I'm happy to read the other text on the text line, but I do give my number out every now and then, and I don't even know who this is. But it is somebody I've communicated with. I can see all the texts. But here we go. I'm sure the best intentions were here. It's just not well thought out. Current primetime coverage, or lack thereof, does not necessarily equate to a good or bad football team.
Oh, this is the same dum-dum we already yelled at earlier in the show on the text line.
I mean, maybe he did both. Let's all just relax and pump the brakes for 2 seconds. The NFL does not want to lose the Broncos product.
Oh, really?
You and I both know games can be flexed around week 14 or 15. If we're in the hunt, expect that. Yeah, no kidding.
That's true for everybody.
That's true for, I shouldn't have dud you. But,
no, you should dumb.
But
no, this guy's a dumb dumb. Like just put his name in your phone book as Dumb Dumb. If you don't get it, if you don't understand what this implies, that the Broncos got the bare minimum. You got the one required primetime game, Thursday night football. That is exactly what that is telling you.
Exactly. And it's, like you said earlier, this is a reflection, in our opinion, because we do share this opinion, of the Broncos' lack of handling their ownership situation to the degree where, hey, Broncos, you haven't got your act together. We had to institute a $10 million fine to teams so we don't go through this garbage again. And here you go. This is what we think of you. This is what we think of your situation.
Who does Roger Goodell work for?
All the owners.
Correct.
And, all 32 of them.
And who is the owner that Roger Goodell is being held responsible for giving one primetime football game to the Denver Broncos? Nobody. Right? If Jerry Jones, clearly Jerry Jones is at the top of the list of marketability, I get it. But you pick an owner, at least you're going to give him a couple primetime games. But for the mere fact that you work for them, you have to be held accountable by these guys.
Yeah. And if you want to double down on that, and I think that's a solid take too, Pat Bowlen was the head of the TV committee back in the day.
Yeah.
And you think this is happening if your owner's the head of the TV committee? Give me a break.
No, the biggest surprise in all this to me, it's not, look, the Broncos are bad. That's not breaking news. Not only are they bad, they're boring, they weren't competitive, they didn't have interesting games, they didn't have fireworks. It was all of the above. It was just it was a TV viewership nightmare last year. So they earned this, but I am surprised that before week 12, before there is flex scheduling allowed, that they didn't at least give the Broncos one primetime game just for the mere possibility of Aaron Rodgers coming to the Denver Broncos.
Well, we didn't even get the lousy back end of the Monday Night Football game, West Coast National TV game.
Yeah, that's right.
We're playing the Giants.
Yeah.
The Giants!
The pity doubleheader.
We didn't even get the pity. By the way, somebody was like, Monday Night Football is not that big of a deal. It's Sunday night. Duh! We didn't get the JV national TV game.
What about Sunday afternoon? Is that like a big deal all of a sudden?
No. I mean, yes. The worst is the like 11 a.m., 1 p.m. start where there's like eight games going on at the same time. The only reason the Broncos are even getting a pinch of shine here, it's because they're playing the Giants, which are in the number one media market. That's it. And even that game, and it's weird. Wait,
why are they getting shine on that game? What are you talking about?
Because Fox could, if Aaron Rodgers is on the Broncos, could put their number one team on that particular game.
Okay.
They could.
Sure, but it's still not in primetime scheduling.
No, it's not Sunday night. It's not Monday night. It's not one of those. But for Fox, the afternoon game featuring
you
the
wouldn't
Giants
do that, though.
Could be their number one game of
I
the
guess,
weekend.
Well, sure. I mean, if Aaron Rodgers came here, sure, they could do that.
You just got to look where you know, Joe and Troy are. That's the number one game for Fox. And ironically, did I use that word? The Packers and the Saints play at the same time, meaning, you know, if you're Fox, you can sort of plan one way or the other. Kind of. I'd be fascinated if that was a last-minute adjustment to make sure the Broncos and Packers were actually scheduled at the same time for logistic TV reasons.
Big irony.
You double-edged sword. You think that's just a coincidence?
Yes.
With TV?
Yes, I think that's a coincidence.
See, this is another reason to get stink on. Did we reach out? Do we care? No. I just had Teddy Bridgewater throwing his team under the bus.
I'll just say this for Joe Brady's growth. I think, man, like that organization, they'll have to like just practice different things, you know, in different ways. Like one of the things we didn't do much of when I was there, we didn't practice 2 minute really. We didn't practice red zone, you know. What? So
it was the most important thing.
What? We used to have a whole day devoted for 2 minute in red zone. That's Thursday like, practice.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I guess the game is becoming about science, you know.
Okay, that's essentially it.
Hey, Dumb, I told you that they only had one Monday Night Football game this year. They don't have two games. I told you that the whole time, Dumb.
We're going back to that?
apparently there's no more doubleheaders on Monday Night Football.
All right, okay. What do you think about Bridgewater rolling his team under the bus?
I didn't know either. Teddy Bridgewater is well aware that red zone was an issue for him last year. He was pretty good in the open field. He moved that team up and down. Got down there in the lower red zone, and he stalled out, and they kicked 3 points way too often.
It was a disaster, yeah.
So it's a little bit of a double-edged sword here. Is it true that they didn't practice red zone? I don't know. I mean, I believe him. Sure, I'd take him at his word. That's not good. Of course you should be practicing red zone. Of course you should be practicing two-minute situations. But it also feels like a little bit of deflection to me.
And he did refer to himself in the third person. I think this was Nick and Cecil last night.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's what we're taking Dan for to compete.
I love it.
Sorry, what?
I'll play it again. Now, this is Teddy talking. This is Teddy talking.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's what we're taking Dan for to compete.
I'm not exactly sure what he said.
I cannot even understand that.
But you heard him say Teddy, right?
Sort of.
I'll play it one more time.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's what Teddy
Dan
for the compete.
I don't know what he said.
I don't know what he said either, but he definitely said Teddy. Did you hear something, Richie?
I'm going to offer a possible, this could be like a Laurel Yanny thing.
Yeah, right.
It almost sounded like he said, that's what we play this game for, to compete. Not what, that's what Teddy play this game for.
Oh, you don't think he said Teddy? Yeah,
Teddy didn't really fit into that.
All right. You know, we got to break it down. So let's, we'll come back.
Can we get in slow motion or something?
Yeah,
you know?
Well, we can go. Yeah. Can I go slow motion?
We're playing a game for the compete.
That said Teddy. Oh, he said Teddy.
It does sound like Teddy.
Right here.
That's what we're playing a game for the compete.
He said Teddy.
That's what Teddy's game's for?
That's what Teddy's game for, said Teddy. All right, we got more of that coming up.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
That's right, the Go-Go's. Go-Go's going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, is that right? Tell me three Go-Go songs.
Well, we got Beat right here. Vacation.
Vacation?
Yeah, you know, Belinda Carlisle.
Wow, did I stump you at your own game?
No, I think Belinda Carlisle may have had more hits as a solo artist than she did with the Go-Go's, to be honest with you. So this did surprise me because, they're a legendary band and they're certainly influential in terms of female artists, for sure. No doubt about it. But I just didn't know if they had enough of a library to you know, qualify for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But their influence on and what they meant for a generation to empower female musicians was strong, really strong. So, hey, that's cool. But they did have, you know, Linda Carlisle.
That's the only one I know. Now, maybe if you played another one and I heard it, I might know it.
You'd know Vacation, for sure.
I would?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Richie, can we find that real quick? But, besides Vacation and We Got the Beat, dude, I don't know. That's a tough one. I'm not really sure. And I'm sure I'm sure a lot of people would probably maybe even get the good, you know, this one, right? That's a good song, man.
Now that Richie's saying it, I do.
It's an awesome song.
Okay.
Yeah, please. Try not to think this isn't a good song. On a beautiful day here in the Rocky Mountain
Hall of Fame worthy. Now that I'm away,
I wish I'd stayed. Hi, Go-Go's. Congratulations to them. I'll have to dig into them a little bit more to find out the reasoning behind them getting in the Hall of Fame, because I don't quite get it, but I like them, though. I like them. All right, we're trying to figure out if Teddy Bridgewater is referring to himself in the third person. But I was told by Richie, and, you know, I'll get to this in just a second. I should play the other clip before we get to the Nick and Cecil with Teddy Bridgewater, which you can find at denverfan.com. That he talked on this other podcast about the understanding the business side of the NFL. So listen to this.
The whole deal in Carolina, it is what it is for me, man. I told him, you know, once the season ended that I wear big boy draws, man, and I understand the nature of this business, and it's a performance-based business. And, you know, yeah, I could sit up here and say, okay, Christian got hurt, or we didn't have this, didn't have that, but that's not me. I look in that mirror and I say, hey, you got to tighten up. You know, so it's, you know, little things, you know, that I could have done better. And, you know, as an organization, it's things that, you know, you can do better as well.
Well, I think that's probably pretty fair criticism all around.
Sure.
That sounds like a mature, even-handed, smart,
no, that was great.
Smart way of handling things.
I understand how this works. If I played better, I wouldn't be in this situation.
Yeah.
I didn't play up to expectations. And so now I've got another opportunity. Teddy Bridgewater's got the opportunity of a lifetime right now. It's pretty unusual that when you lose a starting job, there's another team out there that wants you to be the starter.
But I mean, hey, you got a college coach first year. He's got a college coordinator first year. And they're not practicing 2 minute of red zone. And maybe that worked at LSU and Baylor. But you're in the NFL. I mean, that is wild to think that they really didn't narrow in on those things.
So I'm thinking about it a little bit. And yeah, we definitely would practice 2 minute all the time. But red zone was kind of like a once a week type of situation. And then we would always walk through it on Saturdays. So, or on Fridays, excuse me. So it would be like one period that was live on Thursdays, and then Fridays we would have an extra walkthrough after practice. During the Super Bowl season, we were terrible in the red zone.
Okay.
And so practice would end every Friday. Defense would go inside. Practice is over, and offense would stay outside, and we would do extra walkthroughs for red zone.
All right. Because you weren't good at it.
Correct.
All right. How long last year were the Panthers bad in the red zone?
Oh, from week one.
Right. So why weren't they logically then? Why wouldn't they spend more time on it? And that's probably a result of having wet behind the ears coaches that probably had never had to do it before. Seriously, that may have been the impact of having college coaches run the show.
Sure. So did he say Teddy or not?
Oh, well, that's the other quiz here. So he didn't say it there, but here's, well, this is hard to understand, but this is with Nick and Cecil last night.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's what we take in game for to compete. You know, that's a unique opportunity where, you know, I'm in a room with guys who have played some football, and, you know, I'm a guy who played some football as well. Then you look at, you know, Mike Shula, Pat Shermer, you know, and what those guys are trying to do. You know, it's just great to be in that room. Like I said, man, I had the opportunity to push Drew while pushing myself to be the best version. A Teddy that I can be.
Oh, that's not even that.
That's irrefutable.
I'm
pushing myself to be the best version. A Teddy that I can be.
Yeah. We
okay, so
there.
Now go back to the
a
beginning.
A Teddy that I can be.
Yeah. Well, you want to go back to the very beginning?
We're Teddy game for the complete.
Yeah, he said Teddy. He said Teddy twice.
He said Teddy twice. He did say Teddy twice. You're right.
And in the end, man, you know, it's just about competition. Competition makes the team go and makes you go as a player. Yeah.
Third person guy, huh?
Yeah. The Teddy that I can be.
Yeah.
How do we feel about the third person guy?
Well, Vaughn's a third person guy, so we feel pretty good about Vaughn.
Vaughn's worthy of being a third person guy.
Vaughn refers to himself in the third person all the time.
Don't you got to kind of earn the right to be third person guy? Like, Tyler can't go in third person. But
well, in defense of Teddy, Teddy does make $10 million a year. Ooh. So maybe if you make $10 million a year, you can go all third person. I mean, that's what Teddy does.
The Teddy that I can be.
Yeah.
Teddy I can be.
The best Teddy he can be is making $10 million a year. It doesn't matter who's paying what. He's still making $10 million a year.
It's a pretty good payday. It's a pretty good year.
I'm making $10 million a year. It's DMAC this and DMAC that. Heck, it's almost DMAC this and DMAC that right now. And I'm not even close.
Right. Boy, can you imagine if you were making $10 million a year, what it would sound like?
I cannot, no.
If you got empowered like that,
I'd like to find out.
First sweep, forget the first 15 minutes.
Oh, no.
24
no.
Straight.
Trust me, I had an interesting day as well today. Every day would be fascinating. I would kill you with conversation about my mung bean omelet from today. Oh, was it good? Was it good? Those mung beans.
You can't argue that it wasn't Teddy at the beginning now. See, I was trying to figure out if he was saying that's what we play the game for, but when you go third person at the end, now it's done deal.
And by the way,
said Teddy twice.
We're clearly just joking around here. I don't have like a big problem or think that's a red flag or anything like that. It's fine. It's cool. Well, that's how I
feel. There's a little something about third person, guys.
Ooh, all right. I'll step back. Wait, hold on.
I'm not going on a soapbox. No. I don't need Mount Pelumpus. You can't Mount Pelumpus me when I don't want Mount Pelumpus.
Mount Pelumpus. Speak.
Go on.
When Tyler calls for Mount Pelumpus, Tyler gets Mount Pelumpus. But Tyler didn't call for Mount Pelumpus right now.
All right. I felt like, Richie, that felt appropriate to me. You? Did that feel like?
I felt like it was getting there.
I thought it was.
There's a little something about a third person guy.
All right, here we go.
Tyler didn't call for it.
Mount Pelumpus. Speak.
All right. God, it felt like that again to me.
Kind of a big deal.
Okay. All right, let's see what else Teddy had to say about Teddy.
People know me.
That was cool for Nick and Cecil to have on, though. That was awesome. How about Teddy talking about his relationship with Drew Locke? This is the best we can get. He's got some similarities with him.
You know, me and Drew, man, we share a common person, man. We have a relationship with the... A special person, Mike Karowski. He was Drew's equipment manager at Missouri. And he was my equipment manager at University of Louisville. So,
really?
You know,
nice.
Yeah. So, you know.
Wait, hold on. On the surface, that really from Cecil was, that's not really interesting.
Really? Nice.
I mean,
boy, you guys have the same equipment manager.
I do feel for Cecil, though, when you have a great guest on, and that was a great, great get for Nick and Cecil. Not a good get, a great get. And your guest is going down a path that is, you know, who cares? You feel it as a host. You really want them to get somewhere with whatever they're saying.
Mm.
And when you have to talk about how interesting the shared equipment manager is, you're stretching the bounds.
So
really,
you know,
nice.
Yeah, so
nice.
You know, Mike's family, his boys, man, they love two people: Drew Locke and Teddy Bridgewater. I'm just.
Go back.
Wow,
we've got three third person accounts.
I didn't even expect that one. That one kind of came out of the blue.
Even Tyler thinks that that's a lot.
And he went first and last name. Ooh. He didn't just say me, Drew Locke and me, Drew Locke and I,
Drew Locke and Teddy Bridgewater.
He went first and last name.
Man, they love two people, Drew Locke and Teddy Bridgewater.
Wow. I would laugh too, actually.
So I'm excited to this, you know, be in a room with those guys, man. You know, Drew's a guy, man, who I think he has unbelievable talent. He'll be able to do some great things in this league. And I'm the type that I'm able to be in the room with him, compete, push him, push the room, and, you know, push the team.
Well, he's a third person guy. Okay. He's clearly a third person guy.
I hope Teddy's a little bit more clear in the huddle than he is in the interview with Nick and Cecil.
Ah, who knows what time it was in Teddy's world. And Teddy Bridgewater will be how Teddy is on interviews, however Teddy
wants.
Well,
we've learned Teddy will be Teddy.
Teddy will be Teddy. And sometimes he'll be Teddy Bridgewater. I like Teddy Bridgewater. I do like him. And I think when he says, I'll push Drew in the room, that is correct, for sure, because that was not happening last year.
No, I liked what he said. You know, I also watched a video that Denver Broncos put out on denverbroncos.com, and he had some really good, nice things to say that I could really relate to over the course of my career, talking about coming in and competing with Drew Locke and just the friendships and the bonds that are formed through competition. Some of my best friends in life to this day are guys that I was competing with for my job. Mm-hmm. Shoot, Ryan Harris is a guy that we more or less took each other's job three or four different times. And most of the time he took my job, not the other way around. Mm-hmm. But he is one of my closest friends. And we've got an incredible bond that will last the rest of our life. And it was because of the competition that you're going through.
Yeah.
So I do like the way that he's approaching it. He understands where he's at. He understands that he put himself in this situation. Also, had he played better football last year with Carolina, he wouldn't be in this situation right now.
Yep. And we're going to do the fan film room, and it's a...
Teddy knows that.
Teddy does know that. It's the Panthers against the Falcons and the Broncos against the Falcons. Both very interesting games. It has been remarkable, and we're in the third day of doing the fan film room with common opponents with Teddy and Drew Locke. it is remarkable that their performances against similar defenses are actually pretty similar. And we'll dig more into it, but we're going to find more comparisons today, no doubt about it. I'm telling you, when they say it's a 50-50 battle, that is no joke. This is not, I mean, when it was Lynch and Simeon, that felt like a complete joke because Lynch was a first-round draft pick, Tyler. And, okay, you want to make Simeon feel better about himself, say it's 50-50, I guess. But everybody knew in his second year as a first-round draft pick, obviously it should have been Paxton Lynch that won the job. And we got that magical, mysterious week training in San Francisco when there were like two media members out right there, Cecil being one of them.
So the best week that Paxton Lynch ever had was when he was not in Denver and nobody could see it.
Except for Cecil.
Yes.
And that is right.
We all know that Cecil had motivation to make Paxton Lynch sound good.
Yeah, we all did, though.
I mean, keep it real. Cecil was in on Paxton. Let's keep it real here.
Cecil was in on Paxton. He was. Yeah, I can't say he was wrong or lying. I didn't see it. Nobody was there. I mean, hardly any Denver media were there, but the reports were like, oh, Paxton Lynch is killing it. And we're all like, oh, well, here it is. When he comes back, we're going to see it, and that'll be that. That'll be the end of the con. And then he was terrible. We all looked at Cecil like, what? Cecil's like, I don't know.
See, I wonder if Paxton would have gone third person if he would have been a better player. I bet he would have. Paxton needed a little bit more third person.
I think he would have only gone third person if that's what the video game told him to do. It's KKFN and KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver, 5 o'clock. The Broncos will begin their season near the Big Apple. Now, if you've never been to New York City or seen the Giants or the Jets play in the Meadowlands, you're not missing much.
Start spreading the
New York City's cool.
Meadowlands?
Well, Meadowlands terrible. Meadowlands is in Jersey, firmly in Jersey.
In the middle of a swamp.
Yep. Huge parking lot. $1 billion stadium that has...
super ugly, like the day that they built it.
Awful. No personality whatsoever.
They do have a giant indoor ski slope next to it, though. And a dog track.
But it is remarkable to me you could build a $1 billion stadium that is as boring as what they came up with there in the Meadowlands.
Yeah. I remember the first time I played there, and I was super excited. I was excited to play in Dallas the first time I played in their new stadium.
That place is cool.
I got to New York, and I was like, huh?
Yeah.
This?
Yep.
Pretty ugly.
Pretty ugly, no personality, nothing all that cool about it. The stadium for the Cardinals in Glendale is far more interesting than the Indies Fieldhouse is better.
I could pick a lot of stadiums that are better.
I mean, which stadium actually is worse? And then for whatever wacky reason, you're going to throw $1 billion and you're not going to have a retractable roof? We're just going to play all of this outside in the great open? And we're going to...
Well, it might have been $1.5 billion with the roof, dude.
That being said, the Broncos are off to New York to open up the season. We'll have the rest of the schedule out. I mean, it feels like it's going to come out any second. We do have some games that are out there, so I'll go through it briefly. And there's a couple different angles here. It's the schedule itself, and then there's the revelation that the Broncos are such a low priority. The only nationally televised game is a required Thursday night tilt against the Cleveland Browns. Now, there's not even a second half Monday night football game this year, right?
Like,
they don't even have one. So that's how bad it was. Like, the only spot the Broncos could go to, that doesn't even exist anymore.
You got the one required spot that every team is going to get, and it will be fascinating to see how many teams only have one primetime game.
They're going to Europe. The NFL is. The Broncos were scheduled to be in Europe last year, not going this year. They're not even good enough to be that lousy game in Liverpool.
At 9 a.m.
Right. You know, that's like on Hulu.Snapchat. You know what I'm saying? You get your phone out. Where do I find? There's a game on now? Who are the Jaguars playing?
It's always the Jags.
It's always the Jaguars because, you know.
Because they want to move there.
They want to go there. Can you blame them?
Yeah. Be a terrible football team if you had to live over there.
It'd be interesting. Well, you know, it's funny. Like, the Broncos' first two games are on the road.
Yep.
I mean, theoretically, if you're the London Jaguars, you just go on the road for 2 weeks, and then you come home for 2 weeks.
The competitive disadvantage you would be at is ridiculous. Having to travel that much all the time, all your road games, being on the road, staying on the road, it'd be ridiculous. You would have, the only way to make it fair, you would have to have three or four teams in London to make it work.
Well, hey, what do you think? That's not coming?
Is that coming? Three or four teams? I don't think that's coming.
I could imagine the imagining next 10 years conversation. The teams moving up to 36 with four teams in Europe. I could imagine that. A Europe division. Not that crazy. I mean, teams are already going over there now.
I don't know if Europe cares that much about football. I mean, I know that they do in England.
The NFL cares that much about it.
NFL does, for sure.
Yeah.
I could see Mexico City before that.
Hey, there you go. That's a good one. Actually, let me. Okay, four international teams, because that's a really good point. They obviously want to expand into Mexico City. That makes a ton of sense, too. Yeah, Mexico City, London, Europe, everybody talk about pop music.
Mark Schlereth is proud of you right
was,
now.
That was for you, Millennial.
So
Ben.
Proud of you.
Yeah. London, Paris, something, Eric. Everybody talk about
pop music.
Talk about
pop music.
Did we get Stink on to confirm that he's going to be doing that?
How many times are you going to ask for Stink today?
Well, until we get him on. Oh, you haven't heard back.
He's mad at you.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'm just pointing out. On paper, the Broncos...
I'm guilty by association also.
The Broncos at the Giants is a perfect Mark Schlereth Fox game.
Here we go again. All right, let's break down the schedule. Come on.
Okay. You want to do wins and losses?
Sure.
You want to go through that again? We can. Giants.
L.
Jaguars.
W. You got the number one draft pick. He's not ready. Come on. I'll take him in week two.
Home against the Jets.
Oh, you got the number two draft pick. He's not ready. I'll take a W.
Home against Baltimore.
Oh, that's a loss. Definitely a loss.
At Pittsburgh.
That's another loss.
You sure about that?
Yeah, pretty sure about that.
Why are you so sure about that one?
Pittsburgh is a tough place to play.
Yeah, true.
You've lost two out of three games. Okay. Your confidence is not very high right now. And Big Ben, despite the Steelers, despite their fall off that they had at the end of the year, they are always going to be a very solid football team. You know that. You know the Steelers will be a very solid football team, but we're on the run right now, and you're going on the road? I'm counting it as a loss.
Home against Vegas.
We are 50-50 with the Las Vegas Raiders, so I will take a win because we are at home.
Uh-oh.
Here we go.
Do we have a right tackle? We got it. Wait, hold on. Wait, I got it here somewhere. There we go.
Tackle tracker
is over.
What do we got? Oh, wait, hold on. Let's make a bet.
Who do you think it's Kelly?
I will say anybody but Dennis Kelly. Coffee?
Well, that's not fair.
Coffee?
I mean, you're taking the field.
Coffee or not?
You can't take the field.
Instant coffee bet.
No, you got to pick a name.
All right. Well, then I got to do a little bit of research.
No, you can't. I didn't get to do research.
No, you can't. All right,
stop it. You just looked at Mike Kliss's Twitter.
I didn't even
Twitter.
Mean to do it.
Unbelievable. No, but you were going to say it. I just looked at it, and then you were going to say it.
I didn't know he had printed it out. I was looking for the other names. But,
oh,
okay,
you thought Mike Kliss didn't break the news?
Forget it. You cheater. I didn't cheat. I took the bet off instantly. You're wrong, by the way.
Cheater.
It's Bobby Massey.
What? That was Richie. What? Gosh, you are just...
Richie, who is it?
Well, as you alluded to, Bobby Massey has been signed by the Broncos. He's their new right tackle.
Tackle tracker.
Boy, we went to all the expense and effort to get this produced, and now...
Tackle Tracker
is over.
I mean, I should just...
Tackle Tracker.
Play that as much as I possibly can.
Tackle Tracker.
This is a pretty good signing, man. Bobby Massey has been a starter for his entire career. He's an 8-year starter, played for the Cardinals. That's where he got drafted in 2012, went out to Chicago, played the last 4 years in Chicago, signed a reasonable deal. It wasn't a huge deal, but it was like a $18, $20 million range, something in that ballpark, which is not ridiculous for a right tackle, but he's an 8-year starter with all kinds of experience. So to be where we're at right now, needing a full-time starting right tackle, pretty dang fortunate to have a guy like Bobby Massey out there.
Why was he available?
Well, he's kind of been like a fringe-worthy starter for the majority of his career, and it's been a little bit disappointing. I would say his Arizona career overall was more disappointing than it was exciting. He was a guy that was drafted in the fourth. Gosh, I can't say disappointing because when you take in consideration where he was drafted, fourth round, what he's done is flat out impressive. Mm-hmm. But he was always a guy that year in, year out, you would say, if we could get better here, we would. Yet you couldn't get better because he was good enough that it's difficult to replace him. He had some big time issues in pass protection in the first few years of his career. I'm not going to lie. I don't know his career in Chicago as well as I know his career in Arizona.
Okay.
But I would imagine that he had a similar performance. And if you look at the contract that he signed with Chicago, it was definitely not a long-term, we're committed to you type of contract. It was a 3-year, $18 million deal. So that means he was averaging about $6 million per year as a starting right tackle. That's not a lot of money.
No. And he was placed on injury reserve in 2020 with a knee injury. He did not get activated before the end of the season. And then in March of 2021, they declined the option. So he got hurt, and he never really bounced back the way they were hoping. So he brings that baggage to the table.
Sure.
Okay.
Wow, cheap.
What's that, Richie? What are the details?
Per Ian Rappaport, the deal is for 1 year, $4 million.
That is like insanely cheap.
Yeah,
that's actually dumb. That's a bad negotiation by Bobby Massey's part because he knows for a fact he's going to be the starting right tackle. And if you know you're going to be the starting right tackle, your agent should get you paid starting right tackle money.
I would say this does open up a little competition than a right tackle. I mean, obviously.
Who?
Calvin Anderson and Bobby Massey. I'd say Calvin Anderson's, you know, if he can be better, there's just not that much invested in Bobby Massey is all.
Well, that's fair enough.
Obviously, he'll be the first one out there, but if I'm Calvin Anderson, I'm kind of pumped up. I have a shot.
I would agree with that. Yeah, I mean, if I'm Calvin Anderson, I'm looking at this like, okay, yeah. They only gave him $4 million. I'm a swing tackle anyways. I probably don't have a great chance of winning this, but this is probably as good of an opportunity as I could get, especially considering he's coming off injury.
So it's Bobby Massey.
Yeah.
Oh, man, right tackle.
God. He is an average right tackle.
Yeah.
And a fringe-worthy starting right tackle. That's who he's been his entire career, but he's managed to stay in the starter's role.
Listen, he won this audition, so good for him. You like Dennis Kelly.
I did.
But Dennis Kelly came in, competed for this role, and Bobby Massey won it.
Now I really want to know if they had an actual tryout or not.
And by the way, you know, obviously, two of the people having a big input on this decision are Mike Munchak and Chris Cooper, two guys that we all have a great deal of respect for.
Of course.
So I don't question it whatsoever. I'm going to say this is the guy.
Oh, it's May 12th. Your options are rather thin out there right now.
Yeah, right. But hey, man, if Mike Munchak and Chris Cooper say, hey, this is the guy out of the guys that we brought in, I'm like, oh, all right, cool. This obviously isn't some sort of long-term plan. And the Broncos obviously blew it in the draft by not addressing tackle 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
It was a swing and a miss as George Payton moved up for a running back with Trey Sermon available in the third round. Javonte Williams better be really good. I mean, I just it is
second rounder should have been Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. A third rounder should have been a tackle. You still would have been in the same spot you're in right now, but the only difference would be that in a year's time, hopefully, you're not searching for your starting right tackle. Right, so if you drafted a dude in the third round, he would still have to sit behind Bobby Massey because he's not going to sit there and be ready to play right out the gates. But potentially in a year's time, you're not out there searching for a starter either in free agency or in the draft.
Yeah, get ready for a lot of starting right tackle talk. Starting in January or so around here.
This has been going on for 6 years. Quarterbacks and right tackles,
we've
man.
Been, but we have been talking
and inside
about
line, we've got three positions that we have not addressed in 6 years.
Well, inside linebacker goes on the back burner if you need a right tackle.
Sure.
Give me a break. Right. It's been rough. Never mind the fact we may have to be focused on quarterback as well.
Well, to be fair, I shouldn't say we haven't addressed it. You did go out and sign Juwan James to a really big contract, so you were aggressive in going out and getting him. You just haven't solved it. You didn't get the job done.
Fair enough. Because we're on the same page here. We also said it was ridiculous to assume you would get a full season out of Juwan James. You put a bet on it with Zach Bye.
Right. I still don't have that gift card, by the way.
Gosh.
Unbelievable.
What's he waiting for?
What should
for?
The juice be at this point?
Coffee's for us.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, I'm just getting things ready for the fan film room. He didn't? What did he do wrong? I'll get to it. All right, hey, let's go through it. It's time for the fan film room, and we're looking at common opponents.
Welcome to the Fan Film Room. Drew Locke versus Teddy Bridgewater.
I've been an admirer of Teddy Bridgewater for many years.
Ready to break down the film on the Broncos quarterback battle. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
All right, we're looking at the Falcons. And both games were played actually relatively close together in the middle of the season. The Falcons were struggling. And we'll look at the Falcons and the Panthers first. What'd you see?
I'll cut to the chase. This is the best game that I've seen Teddy Bridgewater play. And if you could get Teddy Bridgewater, if Teddy could play like this, Teddy, to go in third person for Teddy, we might have ourselves a pretty decent quarterback. This was a good game from Teddy Bridgewater. He went out there, went 27 of 36 for 313 yards, two touchdowns, and no interceptions. Dude was balling. He hit some deep balls. He looked like he was in rhythm. Remember the first game that we watched against the Raiders, and I was sitting there telling you, man, he just doesn't look comfortable.
Yeah.
He looks like he's in a new system. He looks like he was struggling with some of the audibles of line of scrimmage. He just was not in command. His feet were out of place. You could tell that the timing with his wide receivers just wasn't there. No, the timing, the tempo, it was beautiful. He was releasing the ball in stride, hit the wide receivers in stride where they're going to be, not where they are. He had a really nice throw to Robbie Anderson that was a nice deep throw, and then he got down there in the lower red zone, and this time he followed it up immediately with a touchdown pass. So he finished in the lower red zone in this game. The Panthers, you know, it wasn't like a ridiculous scoring performance out of the Panthers, but they won the game. It was, 23-16, they won the game. It's, okay, here we go. That was a good performance. You just scared the heck out of me.
No.
Go ahead. You watched the wrong.
I thought I'm next.
Perfect. Well, here's the bottom line, D-Mac. You can trust me on this.
Okay.
This was the type of performance.
I can tell you about the other game.
Okay, that's fine. This is the type of performance out of Teddy Bridgewater that not only was safe, but it was good. I told you in the last two games that we watched that you were not going to win a game with Teddy Bridgewater's performance alone. Everything else had to go right around him.
Mm-hmm.
This game, you could win the game because of Teddy Bridgewater. So we've watched three games. We've got no interceptions so far. I know for a fact that the stats tell me he had 11 interceptions on the year. So the interceptions are coming, and it's probably going to come in packages. It's going to come in groupings, and that's not good. But so far, he's done a fantastic job of taking care of the ball. He was playing in timing. He was playing in rhythm. He was avoiding sacks. I really, really liked this game from Teddy.
All right, well, I did watch the other game by accident, so I got that's my bad. Totally my bad. But let me just tell you, because it's the same opponent against the Falcons, and they lost 25-17. And he did throw.
We're getting a triple breakdown today.
We are. And nice. And in this particular game against the same opponent, so it's you know, apples to apples here. It was very boring Teddy Bridgewater. And he did throw one interception, and it was late in the game when they were trying to rally. Here's the problem with that play and kind of what I'm seeing out of Teddy Bridgewater as we look at common opponents. The ability to rally the team, to make comebacks, I'm just not seeing it at all. And in this particular game, the game you saw, they won, and they were kind of in control and playing well. In this game, they were just they just couldn't get it going, and they were kind of perpetually behind, and they just could never catch up. I will say what the Panthers did try to do, they never really panicked when they were down. They still kind of stuck to the running game and sort of where they were going. They didn't freak out. Whereas you see the Broncos, man, when you see the Broncos get down, it's like a fire drill, man. I mean, it is like out of control, even if they're not down by that much.
Yeah, every game the Panthers lost last year, they were in. They were an extremely competitive football team last year.
So Teddy gives you a great chance, being Teddy. But there's just not that, like, special something when something special needs to happen. So let's move to when the Broncos played the Falcons. And this was, I'll let you describe it. I'll tell you what I thought. But it's a game where it looks close on the surface. Broncos lost by a touchdown. It looks close on the surface.
Broncos got their butts whipped. It was ridiculous. This game, you ended up only losing the game 34-27, but you absolutely were getting dismantled.
Right.
You scored 3 points in the first half. You scored 3 points in the third quarter. So in the first three quarters, you scored 6 points. And then you did explode in the fourth quarter, and you went for 21. Brought the game back. It got a little bit close, and the Falcons looked like they were going to do another Falcons absolute meltdown.
Right.
They ended up holding on to it. I thought that Drew Lock had an up and down game, and part of it I put on him, and part of it I put on the offensive line. In the early parts of the game, I was actually really impressed by Drew Lock because his offensive line was getting him smacked around. He took some big hits in the first half, and he delivered some strikes when he was taking those big hits.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, dude, that's what I'm talking about. You see the pressure in your face, don't panic. Know where the ball's supposed to go, deliver it, take that hit, get up, and be a big boy. The problem is the hits kept coming. Offensive line had a very, very poor game. And as the game progresses, Drew Lock starts to go a little bit Trevor Siemian on you, starts to see ghosts. He no longer trusts his pocket when he should trust his pocket. He should be stepping up a handful of times, and he just starts drifting and drifting and drifting.
Yeah.
And the rest of the game, Drew Lock is causing as many sacks and causing as many hits as his offensive line is because he is not where he's supposed to be in the pocket.
And he had one of the more famous moments of the season in terms of interceptions. They're down big, 27-6. They do come back and score a touchdown, and they stop the Falcons. So now, and they got a 2-point conversion. So it's 27-14, and you're like, okay, fourth quarter, all right, you know, let's go. And then
Lock under pressure, throwing over the middle, intercepted, picked off at the 30-yard line. Ricardo Allen still on his feet and dips inside the 15-yard line. And it looked like Drew Lock just put that one up for grabs.
And that's a throw that Drew Lock can't make.
And it, you know, that kind of defined Drew Lock, unfortunately. A lot of talent, a lot of possibility. Rallied the team to 21 points in the fourth quarter. Took some big hits, including on the touchdown run. I mean, just took a brutal hit, so he's a tough guy. But when he didn't have to, he made a huge mistake with the game still available for the Broncos and plenty of time to go by throwing off his back foot and trying to make something happen when it really wasn't there. And that interception was terrible.
It was. Yeah, it was absolutely terrible. He threw a ton of passes. He threw 48 attempts. It's a weird game because it started out, and I was like, dude, all right. Like, I'm proud of you. This is what I'm talking about. Stay in the pocket. Trust your wide receivers that they're going to be where they're supposed to be. And then it's a twofold issue. Like, who's to be blamed here? Is the offensive line to be blamed? Sure. They didn't do their job. They got their quarterback hit, and they got their quarterback spooked. But also, the quarterback, even when your offensive line is not doing their job, it doesn't excuse you to be in the wrong place and cause bad things to happen. So overall, I'd give Drew Lock C- in this game.
Yeah, there were admirable moments, like late in the fourth quarter. You can see his resilience and his toughness and not willing to give up.
Also, if you remember, and someone on the text line reminded me, I forgot about this. Falcons were down like four cornerbacks that game.
Yeah.
They had a completely depleted secondary.
Well, here's what they did, too. Once they got a big lead, the Falcons seriously stopped playing football. They were just working the clock, playing it safe. They didn't care. They were just going to play the do-whatever-you-want game, and we'll be fine. That's why the Broncos did get the ball back less than a minute to go, down a score. And if you remember, K.J. Hamler, who actually had a great game, unfortunately dropped a pass that would have put the ball near midfield. And unfortunately, Philip Lindsay on the next play dropped a pass that would have, again, maybe got the ball to midfield. And the game ended pathetically with a shotgun snap and it hitting like, I think, Noah Fant's feet or something. And the ball just dribbling, you know, and that's it.
Game over.
Right. It was a weird thing because the score would say, oh, this was a pretty good close game. And, you know, really wasn't.
So we've had a couple close performances out of Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock. I've got Teddy Bridgewater 2, Drew Lock 1. And the two games that Teddy Bridgewater has outperformed Drew Lock, it's been by a pretty wide margin. This one was by far the biggest separator, though. Teddy Bridgewater's best game of the season that I've watched, and Drew Lock just, that's not going to get it done.
Yeah. I'll be surprised watching the final two games as we do the fan film room if we see anything all that different. But it's clear to me, if you want somebody to manage the game and just keep your team in it for the majority of the game, it's Teddy Bridgewater. If you need somebody to make some sort of a heroic comeback or do something that, you know, is extraordinary, then it's Drew Lock. So I don't know, Tyler, who would you rather have?
So far, it's 2-1. It's Teddy Bridgewater, but I would still choose Drew Lock because Drew Lock brings more to the table. I don't see enough separation between what Teddy Bridgewater does good and what Drew Lock does bad that I would not want the upside that Drew Lock offers. Boy, was that confusing. Bottom line is Drew Lock has more upside, and I don't think that Teddy Bridgewater is that safe. It's coming. So far, it looks like it's a gigantic difference in the way that Teddy takes care of the ball, but I'm telling you, he has 11 interceptions on the season.
Yeah.
So they are coming, and that gap is going to narrow.
I'll tell you this, too. If Drew Lock could just harness the good things more often, he would blow the doors off of Teddy Bridgewater.
Yes.
But we don't know that yet because we haven't seen it on a consistent basis yet. But you are right. The possibilities exist, at least with Drew Lock, where we have seen the ceiling for Teddy Bridgewater.
Yes.
And it's not terrible. You can win football games in the NFL with Teddy Bridgewater.
Sure.
No doubt about it. It's just the possibilities with Drew Lock are off the charts, but it doesn't matter if you keep making dumb mistakes. This is going to be a brutal choice.
It is.
For the Broncos coaches, if this really goes to a 50-50 battle. Brutal. Brutal. They'll be constantly second-guessing themselves if they lose games.
Who is Vic Fangio, though?
Oh.
How does he want to win football games?
We'll get to Mount Palumbus Peak coming up next.